Hello, Internet. Welcome back to the Press Play Podcast. Who wants to tell you if you are not watching Shogun, you should probably be watching fucking Shogun. My name is Seth.
Dude, I'm glad you said that because at the end of this episode, we were going to discuss that because I'm like, should we cover this show? Because I haven't seen it yet, but the trailer looked so fucking good.
Oh yeah.
That I'm like, I feel like this requires a watch from us.
Yeah, it's a weekly release, but I think we're three episodes deep right now. I haven't watched the latest one yet, but I watched.
Should we just wait till it's over?
I watched the first two. I will not cover in this as it goes because there's a lot going on. It's
a samurai show with Henry Sonata.
Henry Sonata, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Because you're the second person of our friends whose opinion I actually do listen to on occasion, where I'm like, should I watch this? And Sly Freddy was talking some mad props about this show. And I'm like,
he says basically Edo-era Game of Thrones.
And that alone just makes me chub up a little.
Yeah,
just a little. It's pretty fascinating. I say we cover it week to week, my opinion. We watch the first three, cover the first three, and then...
So next week, what date is it released?
Friday.
Okay.
So by this week we'll have four episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is probably half.
Maybe. We can review them next week. I want to sit down and watch them.
Yeah.
What are they? It's on FX.
What, 30, 45 minutes, an hour?
45 to an hour.
45 to an hour. Okay.
The first episode's an hour 20.
No.
I figured.
Yeah, it makes sense. The pilot, yeah.
You got to establish the world.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sure.
But yeah, it's...
I was going to check it out this week.
I'm not sure what day it comes out on FX, so it's got to be Thursday because
it's usually...
It's Friday on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, that's why you watch it on Hulu.
Hulu's always next day on FX, so it's probably comes out on Thursday.
Awesome.
But, I'm looking forward to that because I've wanted to watch it. I just haven't dedicated enough time to sit down and actually check it out.
I was actually going to wait for it to completely run through and then watch it in one, but fuck it. I'll watch it on a week-to-week basis. I'll give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. This week, we're going to cover My Pig, which is the 2004 Matthew Vaughn film Layer Cake, starring Daniel Craig, Sienna Miller, Tom Hardy, Michael Gambon, and a slew of other little British crime drama regulars. This was actually my first introduction to Daniel Craig, first thing I ever saw him in. Because I watched Tomb Raider after I watched this movie. I put Tomb Raider off a long fucking time.
The first Tomb Raider is really not as bad as people think it is. Okay, it's a guilty pleasure. We can admit that. Yeah. At least I can. It's not a masterpiece, but as far as video game movies go, it's up there.
Well, that's not a very high bar either. So yeah.
It's not.
So Layer Cake is about the pretty much it's a little snippet. It starts out as a little snippet of the day in the life of a high volume drug dealer, and we get to find out what he's all about. And he gets caught up in a bunch of shit because of one bad egg. But neither of you had even really heard of this movie, right?
Not once.
Well, whoever wants to go first, take the floor.
Go ahead, Ian.
So, you know when it's 2 a.m., you've got just a belly full of liquor, and you struck out trying to get in some girl's guts, and you're really hungry.
Fucking
shit. So you think, you know what? I'm going to go to Waffle House, because that's what you do. But there's one Waffle House that you don't go to, even though it's on your way home. You're like, no, I'm not going to that one. That one sucks.
Yeah.
That's kind of like this movie, because Matthew Vaughn has made his appearance on this show, I think twice already, because he's directed many films that I love. He directed Kingsman. He directed X-Men First Class. He directed Kick-Ass. He directed Stardust. This is his first directorial debut, and we say this about a lot of directors. Everybody gets one.
Well, this would be his second, technically.
I am not saying that this movie is bad. I'm saying it's a little hard to follow in places.
I'll give you that.
There are times where I can't understand what people are saying. because they're too foreign. And I'm like, okay, look, I watch a lot of Doctor Who and a lot of Letterkenny, so I can pick up on references and I can hear what you're saying. But when the subtitles are running too fast and I have no idea what the fuck you just said.
it's not so much of a trouble with the British actors, but when they bring in the Irish and the Scottish, wow, it's hard sometimes.
And I could definitely see this being the movie that got Daniel Craig the role of James Bond,
mm-hmm.
because he's kind of, sort of, almost halfway, not really doing the same thing. And I don't hate any of the characters. I just kind of wish it was more understandable. Because, like I said, there are parts where I'm just lost. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, how did we get here? I wasn't looking at my phone. I'm not drunk. Am I just lost?
Yeah.
It has a narrative issue, is what I'm saying.
Did this movie come out before or after Snatch? And I only ask that because somebody owes somebody some royalties.
After.
Well, then that makes perfect sense. Yeah, this movie was basically trying to do everything Snatch wanted to do and did it worse. This was a discombobulated mess of a film. I didn't really enjoy this at all. And for none of the reasons that you just mentioned, I really didn't have any problem understanding. Of course, I don't know people's, slang and whatnot, but as far as like hearing what was being said, I never had a problem with that. It was everything else about this film. Like Ian said, it was extremely hard to follow. And I for the first 20 minutes, I thought I was actually going to really enjoy this movie, but somewhere around that 30-minute mark, it just tapered off and started nosediving.
Dude, I thought the same thing because I liked our introduction to our main character. I liked the scene where they're all at the lunch table, and he's telling him how this is like. I thought that this was going to be, his last job before they let him go. It's kind of like with John Wick 2. It's like, you do me this one favor and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And the favor was go find this chick.
Mm-hmm.
And like 20 minutes later, I'm like, wait, what happened to the bitch he was supposed to find?
Yeah, exactly. They just kinda like,
she's all right. I forgot. Yeah. She's irrelevant. I'm like, well, then what was the point of that?
That's probably my main issue with the movie as well, is that there's too many things going on. There's too many things that he has to do. So much so that the finding the chick, the missing daughter or whatever, he gives to someone else to do. He gives it to the two.
And they just reference it in dialogue at the end.
Yeah, the club owners. Well, the girl is the reason that he eventually gets caught up with the bigger boss. I forget his fucking name.
Dumbledore.
Yeah, Dumbledore. I wish it would have had a little bit more focus there, because we go back and forth between the missing granddaughter or daughter or whoever she is to shit going on with the Duke, and fuck, the Duke gets killed, Jesus, really fucking quickly,
almost immediately.
That should have been saved for when he reveals the body in the freezer. I don't know why they showed him getting killed during that montage.
Yeah, it made no sense.
But, I know. I get where you guys are coming from completely. I had to watch this movie two or three times. I knew there was something here that I liked back when I first watched it, but there were places where I was getting lost. I said, where are we?
Dude, I thought the same thing, because I'm like, I'm at around, because this movie's 145 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes. And I'm like, by halfway through, I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have to watch this again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm kind of lost. So they better, hopefully they start making sense soon. And
it does eventually all kind of tie up together.
Kind of, but it has the same problem with Snatch in that.
Yeah.
Snatch has the same problem. Yeah. Right. I don't know anybody's fucking name because there's too many characters, too many things going on.
Yeah.
I know the Duke and Jimmy.
That's it.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question. It's like, this guy watched Snatch and he's like, I can make that movie. And that's essentially what he did here. It just wasn't for me, man. I wanted to like it, and I thought I was going to, but at the end of the day, nah.
Well, we've said this about a lot of movies. There was a good idea here.
Sure.
It was just executed poorly. Like, if you if you would have had Quadruple X or whatever the fuck, because I don't, Daniel Craig's character doesn't have a name. Mm-hmm. So if you insert Bond, if you have Bond at the lunch table with Jimmy and he says, listen, a million ecstasy pills were stolen. I want you to find it. And if you find it for me, you can retire. And it turns out, and they'd have stuck with Jimmy being an informant, and he's like, listen, he's going to be caught with these pills. You're going to give them to me, and he's going to go away. I'm okay with the turn that Jimmy was an informant. I'm fine with that. But the starting out with trying to find some chick, like, no, make the ecstasy pills the main focus of him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just willy-nilly stumble into this nonsense. Like, that should have been the main thing that Jimmy wanted him to do. And he found out that Jimmy was a rat.
Yeah. And I think all the problems that stem from this narratively come from the fact that this is based on a novel, and they let the author of the novel write the screenplay. Well, what happens is when you have a novelist write a screenplay, they want the title. In a book, it's different. You can have all this other shit going on. You know what I mean? Because you're trying to flesh out the world through words. But when you have a visual medium, he needed to pick a lane and stay in it.
Because we only have an hour and a half. Like, books need to be condensed. That's why a lot of people are like, well, the book was better. Well, no shit, because books are always going to be better. There's more information. You're building a world. But in a movie, you only have a set amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why Stephen King never writes a screen. Yeah, that's why Stephen King never writes a screenplay for his adaptations, because he knows that it's, you can't do movies like that.
Except for the one with books. Except for the one with the semi truck, and that one's fucking magical.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
That's a great film. Great film.
Yeah.
but everything else, I mean, yeah.
If you take out the whole chick finding thing, that's the main problem. Actually, is introducing that daughter. The whole thing should have been about the pills. Because it still would have driven the point home. You still could have the same exact characters, the same exact motivations. You take the girl out,
and it would have ended the exact same way anyway.
Exactly. Nothing changes. Like I said, that's just what happens when you have a novelist write a screenplay. They try to put too much into it. The script needed a little doctor and a bit of a rewrite. It needed some focus. And you wouldn't have lost any length either off the runtime. Not really. You could have fleshed out the chase.
Another thing, this movie was 1 hour and 43, I think you said, and I felt every minute of it.
I wanted more of the.
I had to pause it a couple different times.
I wanted more of the cat and mouse between Quad X and Dragon.
It's what I thought we were going to get throughout the entirety of the movie, but no, it was anything but that. And that's what disappointed me. I was like, because like Ian said earlier, there was a great idea here, or there was a great movie here. The idea just wasn't hashed out, but we could all see it. I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to see what could have happened here. But
and there's some great visuals on screen. I'm not taking anything away from the cinematography.
Yeah, the camera.
Because there was one shot that I was like, that's Matthew Vaughn right there. Mm-hmm. It was when Daniel Craig had Jimmy had the gun to his head,
right?
And it's close up, very quick pull out and bang. I was like, that was a very good shot because I don't know why, but just that one stood out to me visually as probably one of the better shots of the film.
There's some great transitions in here too. The one right before he shoots him, when he goes into goes into his eyes and the camera moves back out and he's in a mask again. That's good shit. This movie, visually, it is interesting. It's fun to watch it.
And people sleep on Matthew Vaughn, but he's definitely making a name for himself now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could tell that he was trying to carve out his style in this. Mm-hmm. There's remnants of it there. But I do want to mention this movie has. One of the greatest pieces of advice I think I've ever heard, or one of the greatest philosophies I've ever heard.
The one about taking shit?
Not that one.
That one, that one stood out to me.
My favorite is whenever they were talking about how Crazy Larry died. And turns out, Crazy Larry was gay? I thought he was all about machismo and being a man and shit. He said, well, to put it like Larry, and it cuts to him, fucking chicks is for puffers. I laughed out. No, fucking females is for puffers. That's what he says. I laughed out loud. I forgot. I had completely forgotten about that.
Oh, this movie did make me laugh on purpose, not by accident, because there was... I love the first conversation with the dragon. He's like, you know, you can come over to my house for breakfast. You know, I'll squeeze some orange juice. We'll talk this out. And he's like, that sounds good. He goes, do you know where I live? No. Then fuck off.
He tells his friend, yeah, I told him to fuck off. I don't think you should have done that. Yeah, I'm starting to regret it. and
have some British humor in there. There were parts that did have some, you know, your classic British humor, which I like a lot, and that was appreciated. It helped break the monotony a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I love the whole opening sequence, actually.
I did too.
Where Daniel Craig is narrating, you know, establishing the rules of the world, basically, and what he lives by, what his character is all about. I love the line when they hear the sirens, and he says, only very stupid people think the law is stupid.
I liked that very much because it's smart dialogue.
Yeah,
but it gets lost somewhere in the narrative.
Yeah,
and I very much enjoyed the opening monologue, but I was afraid they were going to do it the whole time. Mm-hmm. But it never, like, sometimes narration drags the film down to a crawl, and I'm like, dude, stop doing that. Dune, and it never overstayed its welcome. He told you what was necessary.
Yeah, he had to get across a lot of information in a very short amount of time to tell you, you know, who he is. That way, when you go into the lunch with Jimmy, you have an idea of how he's going to react and how he's going to take care of this situation.
Right,
and his first meeting with the Duke, I love.
Oh yeah,
because the Duke's going fucking crazy. He's not listening to reason, and he's you fucking idiot. It doesn't work that way. You're not listening to me. I wish this movie could have been better. Because I haven't seen it in a long time. I do remember liking it when eventually after I watched it a couple of times and knew what the story was going to be and knew what I could ignore. But the twist with the name at the end, that's kind of cool. The first time I watched it, I never realized it. When he says, oh, my name, if you knew it, you'd be as clever as me. I was like, fuck, he never said it. That's cool.
Right. I forgot. Now we're talking about this. I fucking hated the ending.
Oh, when he gets shot? Yeah.
For no reason.
Well, he stole the guy's girl.
Great. I don't give a shit. That came out of butt fuck nowhere.
Yeah.
Because there was never even any inkling that the dude who shot him knew that Daniel Craig had even stole his chick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? This just happened for shock value.
Yeah.
And it can eat me. Yeah.
It should have, after he turns to the camera and says, you'd be as clever as me, it should have cut the black and went to credits. That would have been fucking cool.
That should have been it.
Yeah.
He won.
I mean, but no. Well, they had to try.
Exactly. He won. He got the girl.
They had to try and be all edgy and throw that little extra bit of film that they shot and they were debating on cutting. Should we cut this? Should we put it in? Oh, fuck it. Let's just put it in the movie. No, you should have cut it.
I don't imagine a lot of people saw this in the theater, but I bet people walked out pissed off. Like, what the fuck? You mean I sat through all of this for no reason?
Yeah, basically.
I was pissed. I was watching this at home like, oh, Seth's going to hear about this.
No, trust me. I agree with you about the ending. It's trash.
It's fucking stupid. But I will say this. while he's not on Edgar Wright's level, but he's definitely not on Zack Snyder's level. The sound drops in this movie are actually pretty good.
That's fair. Yeah, they're not bad. I'll agree with that.
The best one is the Duran Duran song, in my opinion.
For me, it was "Give Me Shelter."
That one too.
Because I'm like, this normally this song I hate on principle because it's annoying.
It is annoying.
I work for a rock radio station. I hear it all the time, and if I have a chance to take it out, I will take it out. I'm like, I don't want to hear this shit because it's like 5 minutes long, and four of it is "It's Just a Shot Away." That's it. Mm-hmm. That's 4 minutes of the song.
Yeah,
and I can't stand it. But here, I'm like, you know what? Daniel Craig's about to get some ass. I'll let it slide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh man, there was something else I was going to mention. How is it, Gene? The guy,
Jimmy's number two.
Yeah, how he comes to the conclusion and finds out that Craig killed Jimmy because it was that gun that he used to kill. I thought that was pretty clever.
It was,
and.
Because he's like, that was the gun that killed such and such. He's like, how do you know? Because I killed him with that gun. and I do like that. You know, they weren't so blinded by rage that they wouldn't listen to reason. Like, he was an informant. I could prove it. Like, well, let's go listen. Yeah. And then they're like, oh,
well, because well, once, now what do we do? Yeah, because once you hear that, you have to fucking know now. The chances that it is true, the stakes are too high for you not to know for sure. So, he said, if you can't prove it, we'll fucking both kill him. But if you can, now he's the boss.
Yeah, now they're just like, huh, what do you want to do now? Well, I'm going to bed.
All in all, I'm going to give it a C.
I give it a C, C plus. It's not bad. Like I said, there is something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not done well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give it a
lower than that because. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I give it a C plus. There's some performances that I love in here. What I do like is really good. It's just the stuff I don't like is it's too much.
It's really bad.
It holds
can't be ignored.
There's too much weight that it holds down the movie, and it keeps it from being something that it should have been.
Even some of the movies that we've given A-minuses to, like, yeah, the bad didn't take away from my good time, but here the bad stuff just was, it was too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll say this, the whole thing with the chick doesn't change the film at all.
No.
It could have been cut. Why is she here? Because she's in the movie for 5 minutes. I mean, you could have found another way to, you know, get Daniel Craig shot at the end. I don't know. There's just a different way to go about it, but the whole, he stole this girl. I'm like, I'm not lying. When he got shot and the dude ran up and said, I'm sorry, and ran away, I went, who the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. And I went on Wikipedia to look at the synopsis, and I went, oh, that was Chick's dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't in the movie for very long. How am I supposed to remember that?
Yeah.
They weren't significant.
No.
So I'm like, wait, I legit had to go look up who the fuck that was.
Because
like I said, I can't remember anybody's name. And that dude was barely in the film.
Barely.
Barely. It's like if fucking Jamie Lannister had gotten killed by Podrick. Like, who?
Oh, man.
Oh, Tyrion's sidekick with the big dick. Mm-hmm. That guy. I fucking forgot about him.
But you know what this movie's perfect for? Background on a Sunday when you're doing chores. You can stop and watch a couple of scenes that you like, and then you can hear it in the background. So, you know, ignore the shit you want to ignore, and you know what
you know what I watch?
Watch it while you're folding clothes.
In the background doing chores. Nah, if I want background noise while I'm doing chores, I'll just watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Which, by the way,
oh shit, that's right.
I got this signed bottle of Four Walls whiskey from Mr. Glenn Howerton. I met him Sunday. Yesterday. That was fun. Nice guy. Super nice guy. Bigger ears than I was expecting. Yeah, super nice dude.
So I'm up next week, yeah?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to stick to my guns. We're going to watch Gonzo. It's available on Netflix.
All right.
We're going to do this.
And I am you'll sticking to mine.
You'll have to repeat that because everything froze while you were speaking.
Gonzo.
Yeah,
Gonzo. Oh, yeah,
Gonzo. I'm sticking to my guns, okay. Yep.
And I'm going to need you to text me and tell me how to spell that.
G-A-N-T-Z. Mm-hmm. And then...
I've got Cowboy Bebop the week after that.
Mm-hmm.
And also Shogun next week. So we're gonna do that.
Yes, yeah, we are.
Can't wait. And I'm actually looking forward to this Cowboy because when I started watching it, I haven't seen this animated series in a very long time, but this was one of the first animes I ever watched as a young adult when I started into anime. My first was Ninja Scroll, then Fist of the North Star, then there was this, and then there was Dragon Ball Z. Then there was Vampire Hunter D, and then there was Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, Dragon Ball and Cowboy Bebop were my first two animes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you count Voltron. Do you count Voltron?
Of course I do.
Voltron's my first anime.
It's a cartoon than an anime. Hmm. Yeah, you're right.
It's all about animation style, and that is definitely an anime.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything that would prove otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean... It's definitely an anime. Some people might not think it is because it was just so, you know, in people's faces and Americanized. So, but it is technically.
Yeah.
So I'll allow it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just Seth, do you know what you're doing?
No.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, fair enough. All right. It's been real.
It's been fun.
It's been real fun.